this little lady, and she's on the corner, and she's getting ready to cross the street, and there's bad traffic, and she looks like she's not doing too good. You walk over and say, "Ma'am, just let me walk across the street with you." Now, nobody else may see that. Nobody else may never ever know it, and you may not ever tell anybody. He sees it. He knows it. He records it. You know what you did? You expressed love. You expressed kindness. You were tender the way you approached her. You helped her. You helped someone who is in need. Every day of our life, we have the awesome privilege of building on our life and instilling within our life those activities that what? That God sees as those things that are consistent with the foundation, and He's going to reward us for every single one of them. That's why godly living is so very important, besides the fact that's who we are.
Learn more about the Christian life at intouch.org. If you missed any of today's message, or if you'd like to hear it again, visit our website. You can also stream previous messages from the radio archives or download podcasts and devotions. Find these and many other resources at intouch.org. Jesus' model prayer in Matthew chapter 6 may be short, but it's very rich in meaning. We'll hear more about it Thursday on In Touch with Dr. Charles Stanley. This program is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia, and remains on this station through the grace of God and your faithful prayers and gifts.
This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station, WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Wednesday to you, Brevard County. We want to thank you for tuning into the radio program right here on 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship, WMIE. My name's Bob Arthurs. 8:30 of a morning, 5 o'clock of an evening, you'll find my voice traveling across this frequency right here on 91.5 FM. If you happen to be listening at 10:30 of a morning and you want to hear this program, you'd have to go over to the AM dial, WWBC 1510 AM, and that's where you would find us sharing this broadcast. It's the original broadcast is 8:30 of a morning. It rebroadcasts 10:30 and 5 o'clock of an evening. So if you miss it once or you hear something that you like, you can always turn around and catch it again at a later time. We want to start off today by saying thank you to Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. If you need any block or concrete work done in your area of expertise, whether it's at home, at work, whatever it might be, give them a call. They have decades and decades of experience, a great work ethic. They are experts in their field, and you will be glad to have their services because they don't make some of the mistakes. One of the things I do in my spare time is I watch home improvement programs and things like that, and people who are doing something for the first time end up many times missing a step or forgetting about a step, and then they have to go back and not only undo everything that they've done, but then they've got to go back and do it the right way. When you deal with Jits Concrete, they're going to get it right. They're going to get it right the first time, and you're not going to have the learning curve that you would have if you were trying to do it yourself. So I encourage you to give them a call, 321-536-5804. They have been a part of Merritt Assembly of God longer than I've been a part of Merritt Assembly of God, and I think I've been there just this side of forever. They have a long, long history with the church. It's because of their faithfulness that, we have been able to do many of the things that we have accomplished through the years. And so we want to say thank you to them. And we also want to remind you today that if you would like to be a part of WMIE's ministry here in Brevard County, that this week, the spring offering, and pardon me, my voice was doing a little weird thing there. The spring offering right here in Cocoa, Florida, the radio station is trying to raise $35,000 for their next 6 months budget. And if you would like to be a part of that, that helps them with their technological upgrades and the maintenance that goes on here on all of this technology. They've upgraded some of their software and continue to make improvements to make sure that the signal that goes out is as good as it can possibly be. And that doesn't happen for free. So if you'd like to be a part of that and be a partaker in the reward of the ministry that goes out across the airways, all you got to do is call 321-632-1000, 321-632-1000. Tell Paul you heard about it on the Refresh Radio program and tell him what God is dealing with you in your heart about giving over the next 6 months. And he will be most appreciative. I will be most appreciative. And we will continue daily taking the word of God through the airwaves of Brevard County and other counties. You see, that AM signal goes a lot farther than the FM signal does, and the internet takes it all the way around the world. We will never know until we get to heaven the impact of this particular radio station and our radio program as well. So if you'd like to be a part of it, 321-632-1000. And we're in Matthew chapter 23 today. We are talking about the Pharisees who were identified by Jesus as being blind guides. Blind guides. So let's look at verse number 15. And it says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. Woe to you, blind guides, who say, 'Whoever swears by the temple, it is nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he is obliged to perform it.' Fools and blind, which is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? And whoever swears by the altar, it is nothing, but whoever swears by the gift that is on it, he is obliged to perform it. Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gift of the altar that sanctifies the gift, which is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift? Therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it and by all things on it. He who swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it, and he who swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits on it." So let's look at this verse number 15. This is another woe of the scribes and the Pharisees that Jesus describes as blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, if people without vision lead people without vision, both of them are going to end up in the ditch. And he says, "You travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourself." Now, you've got to remember that the Pharisees and the scribes, they presented themselves, portrayed themselves, pretended to be the keepers of spiritual truth. They operated from the mindset that they were looking to be in the best interest of the people. But in actuality, that was not the case. They were actually kingdom preventers instead of kingdom participants. And so he said, now you do have a great desire to reach the world. He said, "You will travel land and sea to win one proselyte." Now, this does not mean, because Jesus is presenting this in a negative light, this does not mean that we are not supposed to be ambitious in taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. It is, Jesus said, "Look, until this gospel reaches the end of the earth, I'm not coming back." He wants this message taken to the ends of the earth. It is not that we're not supposed to be engaged in kingdom business, because we are. But remember, the first thing is to be a kingdom participant. We got to enter in. And the Pharisees, he's already made clear, had no interest of going in. And they were their intention and desire was to keep people out of a relationship with Jesus Christ. They said, if anybody professes faith in Jesus, they're going to be excommunicated. They're going to be kicked out of the synagogue. So a lot of people were not openly advocating their relationship with Jesus Christ because of the consequences that the Pharisees and the scribes were going to be taking against them. And it's amazing how people who are operating from a sense of bitterness instead of betterness, that they want to reach as many people with that message as possible. I guess their misery loves company is a saying, and they think that, well, if I can get more people to side with me, then we'll side with Jesus, then everything is going to be okay. And so they were very intentional about persuading people to be very rigid and legalistic in their relationship with God. Okay. And so they would spare no expense if they could get just one more person to be just as much in bondage as they were. And so once they had a person that was willing to profess their faith in God, then they set about making them, let's see, what does it say? You make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. They began putting these heavy burdens on people. Listen, there were crazy restrictions that the Pharisees had put up on people, that they could only walk so many steps or so far away from their house. There were laws about how they could get rid of the water that they had that might have been sitting in their house. There were crazy, crazy restrictions. And they were always quick to point out everybody's flaws. Everybody. If you had a flaw and they didn't have that flaw in their life, they were quick to point it out because that made them feel better about themselves. It didn't matter what it did to you. And so in Galatians chapter 6, we're instructed that if we catch a brother in a fault, that we're supposed to go to them with an attitude of spiritual maturity, a spirit of gentleness, for the purpose of restoration, restoring them back to where they were supposed to be all along. And so if ministry ever deteriorates to the point it's about how does this ministry make me feel, as opposed to how is this going to help another brother or another sister in their journey for Jesus, then we've missed the mark someplace. Okay? God wants his people empowered so that that they can serve him with a wholehearted passion. And so Jesus says that this is a lamentable attitude. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. So I will tell you this. One of the reasons I want very few strongholds of sin in my life is because I don't want someone else coming along and that stronghold of sin having an even greater stronghold upon that generation or upon that individual. I've seen it happen. And let me tell you, if you've got young children, make sure that those children see that you are passionately in love with Jesus. Because they're going to pick up on any disconnect, they're going to pick up on any hypocrisy and that's going on in your life and they will take it to a whole different dimension. And I don't want that for you. I don't want that for me. And so I want to make sure that, that if God puts his finger on something in my life and says, I'm not happy with this, I want to get it out. If he puts his finger on something in your life that he says he's not happy with, please don't argue about it with him. You're not going to win that argument. Somebody once said, if you are in an argument with God and you win the argument, you lose. But if you lose the argument and you come to seeing things from God's perspective, then you win. Verse number 16, there's another woe that is mentioned, and it's and it talks about the vows, the oaths that people were taking in their life. They would swear by the temple, and the Pharisees would come along and say, oh, well, those words are meaningless. You're not held to those. I don't know about you, but I've had a whole lot of experience with dealing from the consequences of the words that came out of my mouth. I've had a number of people who would say things like, what did you just say? And, you know, I have a size 12 shoe, and it amazingly has managed to fit in my mouth way too many times. We live in a day and time where people are not looking for a reason to give people a pass on anything that they say. God wants us to be able to be a person who controls our tongue. And so it's amazing, but here these people are who were very legalistic, and they were saying, well, if you've made a commitment to the temple and you've verbalized that commitment, we're not going to hold you to that. But if you swear by the gold of the temple, you are obliged to perform it. In other words, if you've made a financial commitment, you're going to be held to that. When we do our missions emphasis Sunday, we do ours in February, and we ask people to pray. What would you have God to say to you that he's going to empower you to be able to give to missions? And so we have people who give to support our missionaries. We also have a children's missions program, a youth missions program, a women's ministries missions program, a men's ministries missions program, a Bible giving program, that we support all of those things. And any funds that come in to any of those categories, those funds get dispersed to those categories. We support First Baptist Church of Merritt Island and the Agape Pregnancy Center. We support them. Anything that comes in, look, there's one thing that I definitely know that people do not get by with, and that is robbing from God, embezzling from God, misappropriating funds or anything like that. That's just dumb. I mean, to think that you are going to be able to pull the wool over God's eyes with something like that is not wisdom. And so I don't want to approach anything like that. But what I do want to do is, if God places something in my heart and says, this is what I want you to give, then I want to go ahead and step up and say, I'm going to make that a reality to the best of my ability. But people who make faith promises, they never get reminded of the dollar amount that they made. They don't ever get a letter from us saying, you know, you're a little behind schedule here. Are you sure? We don't do any of that. For us, it's about the faith. It's about hearing from God and walking in obedience. And because when we do that, there's going to be a blessing that comes. And so the Pharisees, Jesus is dealing with them here, and he says, you are missing everything. He said, you're focusing on minors and you are ignoring majors. He says, Which is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? And so, again, like I've talked about in other programs, is people get afraid of the consequence, so therefore they deprive themselves of any blessing by saying, oh, I don't want to let God down, so I'm just not going to do anything. That's the type of mindset that got the servant in trouble that had been entrusted with the talent by the master. You know what? I would rather say, you know what, God, I'm going to believe that Merit Assembly of God is going to be able to give. Our faith promises this year were $40,000. Now, last year we gave over 70,000. But I would much rather have a person say, you know what, I believe that God is going to enable me to give $40,000 and to missions and only be able to give 38, then say, well, you know what, I'm not going to trust God for anything, because if you aim for nothing, you will hit it at every time. God's got a vision. You know, we're talking about leadership here on this. We're not just talking about, you know, putting down the Pharisees. We're talking about their horrible leadership. They were leaders without vision. They were not embracing God's vision. And he said, because of the way that you are putting your stamp of endorsement on some and giving them passes on others and condemning them for other things, he said, you are actually impeding the ministry of the kingdom of God instead of propelling it. You're acting in a very foolish manner. Okay. We're not supposed to be calling people fools. The word of God identifies folly. Okay, I want you to say that. We tend to get our emotion in it. God's not emotionally detached. He just recognizes wisdom when it's in operation, and he recognizes foolishness when it's in operation. And right now he's talking about several areas. He calls them fools in verse number 17, fools in verse number 19. And he's an expert at what foolishness looks like. If God says it's foolishness, if God says it's folly, then it's folly. There's no sense arguing about it. Verse number 18, and whoever swears by the altar, it is nothing, but whoever swears by the gift that is on it, he is obliged to perform it. Again, we see, you know, they miss the big picture and they focused on the little picture. And in the meantime, they were demonstrating by their actions that they did not have the appropriate vision that God wanted. It said, fools and blind, for which is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift? So you and I, we can't overlook the big things and then trip people up over the small things. Jesus was telling them that their focus was all off. Paul here at the radio station was showing me a picture recently, and he had taken it with this with a phone, and he says, look at how crystal clear the focus is, and the photograph showed depth to it, and it really was a crystal clear photo. But the reason that it was a good photo was because it had focused on the important part of the scene. It wasn't fixated on something that wasn't supposed to be the central part of the photo in the first place. I believe it was Peter Lord said, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And if we ever get to the point at church where it's more about the color of the carpet, the color of the walls, and the type of seating that we have, and the temperature, and the songs that we sing and all, we miss everything there. Let's not get sidetracked and forget about the important things of God. He who swears by the altar swears by it and by all things on it. He who swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. And he who swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits on it. Can we just end today by focusing on two very important statements in there? It says, by him who dwells in it, by the God, and that him is capitalized, and by him who sits on the throne of God. Okay? And you and I, the real important thing that people need to experience when they come to the house of God is they need to know that it's not a vacant house. Okay? The book of Ruth talks about there was a famine in Bethlehem. Bethlehem means a house of bread. You can't have bread if you don't have grain. There was something not right, and people started leaving the house of bread looking for something, and God eventually brought harvest back. And when there was bread, when there was a harvest, then people started coming back. Naomi and Ruth came back because now what that region was known for, it actually had. The important thing about any church is that when people come, they realize that the presence of God is there. In order for that to be happening, he's got to be on the throne. Listen, I call Merit Assembly of God my church because I want to have a sense of stewardship about it. But realize it's God's church. It's God's church. I'm at Merit Assembly of God because God brought me there. There are people at Merit Assembly of God. In fact, before I came into the radio station today, I was having a conversation. He said, we're praying that God is going to bring the people to Merit Assembly of God that God wants at Merit Assembly of God. And that's how I got there. That's how they got there. They had God speaking in their heart. They went from visitor to member because God said, this is where I am strategically placing you. Not always the easiest place, but I will tell you, if you and I, if we would value and treasure the presence of God and treat people in the manner in which we say, you know what, we want you to know today that God loves you, he cares for you, and he wants to do life with you. And he doesn't want to be a silent partner. He wants to be the authority in your life. See, when I was a staff pastor, I loved the privilege that came with that. When somebody came up to me and said, well, we need to go talk to pastor about that. Let's go talk to pastor about that. I love that. And you and I, whenever somebody comes to church and there's a need, we can say, well, let's take that to the throne. Is there anybody that's listening today that you're thankful that your Heavenly Father sits upon the throne room? I did a little illustration one day, goes back years and years ago, and it talked about where Jesus said, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And so I had a number of people come up, and we joined hands. We formed a bit of a circle there, and I said, what this scripture says is that God comes, and when he comes, he's the king. And that means we've got, when we are gathered together and we're praying for this person because they're going through a trial, that God comes and he establishes his throne right in that circumstance. Listen, I don't like theological arguments. I don't like theological debates, but it doesn't mean that I don't know theology. I'm not a theologian. I'm a pastor, but I have to know theology to some extent to be a pastor. But I tell you what I do want. I want to be a person that says, hey, Jesus wants to live as the central focus of your life. And when you do, you're going to find that he is not, it's not just his house. He actually resides there, and he's the king. 321-632-1000 if you'd like to make a faith promise today. We'll catch you here tomorrow right here on the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthur.